What does it mean to be a Christian woman in our feminized secular society? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May is Ladylike, Living Biblically. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Ladylike by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. A great Mother's Day gift, Ladylike, Living Biblically, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May.
I'll set up, boss.
Actually, he's the boss. I just pay for everything and design everything. Make everyone look cooler.
The Avengers, how can you possibly stop me?
Show them what we got.
Coming through.
I just slipped.
Hey, big guy. Whoa!
That's all in the swing.
If you step out that door, you're an Avenger.
There's an excerpt from the trailer for the movie The Avengers, Age of Ultron, action-packed chock-full of superheroes, at least of one comic book universe. It's a sequel, and of course, sequels always lead to further sequels. Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. live this Monday afternoon, May the 11th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to review the movie Avengers Age of Ultron. Pastor Ted Giese joins us here for the first half hour or so. A little bit later in the program, Pastor Stephen Parks will be our guest. We're going to talk about Christians confessing their sins. Do we confess our sins because they haven't been forgiven? Do we confess them because we're trying to somehow apologize to God and make it right with Him? There are some Christians who think that's what it's all about. It isn't, but we'll explain what it is about a little bit later with Pastor Stephen Parks, why Christians confess their sins. Pastor James Crickaville will join us after that. We'll talk about 9th century missionaries to the Slavs, Cyril and Methodius, the church. Most of the church remembers them on this day, May the 11th, and then we'll round off today's Issues Etc., teaching a Sunday school lesson, Paul and Silas in and out of prison in Acts chapter 16. Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel will be our guest. You can join us for the next 2 hours with questions or comments. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc. Our beloved on-demand listeners, feel free to use the Issues Etc. comment line anytime, any place, 618-223-8382. Joining us to review the movie Avengers Age of Ultron, Pastor Ted Giese, a regular guest. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
These movies are difficult to follow. Part of the reason is because, as you say, these casts are so big, now star-studded casts and the special effects, everything. But maybe an approach that you suggest is to approach this movie as kind of Greek mythology with Christian window dressing. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, you know, like it kind of really occurred to me as I was watching this movie, particularly right at the very end, and this doesn't really spoil the end of the movie per se, but when the credits start to roll at the end of the movie, they have this big, they got a very close camera angles on this sculpture of all of the Avengers fighting with Ultron, and then they finally pull back and you see all of like this sculpture. And it reminded me of this historic piece of sculpture from ancient Greece, which is the Laocoon, and it's about like this Trojan priest who and his sons being attacked by serpents sent by the gods. And the whole way that this all unfolds is it's more like all of these ancient Greek gods and heroes that they used to believe in the pagan kind of period of time before the advent of Christianity around the Mediterranean. And it's got like that kind of stuff. And woven into this movie, there's all of these references to various people being like gods and behaving like gods and acting like gods. But they're not like God like you know and I know, like the Holy Trinity. They're more like those Greek gods from the Greek pantheon.
Okay. the plot's a little difficult because it's not just that these sequels kind of run together. You really have to know the characters because they throw you right into the action. How would you orient us for a review of Avengers Age of Ultron?
Well, you have returning characters. Like, the whole idea of the Avengers is it's assembling together these various comic book heroes. So if you've seen other movies like the Thor movies, you've got Thor in this, the Captain America movies, you've got Captain America in this. Iron Man, you've got the Iron Man movies, you've got Iron Man in this, and they just kind of add up. Scarlett Johansson, who plays Black Widow, she's been in a number of the different franchises along the way, and she's in this too, Incredible Hulk. They're all kind of there, and really it's masterful the way the story is put together and the way it's presented, because with so many characters, it could just collapse in on its own weight. And if you compare a movie like this one, it's done just like the writing and the artistry of the whole thing is quite amazing. When you compare it with maybe one of the Bryan Singer movies, with the X-Men movies, they just don't do it as good as just this Joss Whedon does. And Joss Whedon has all sorts of genre experience with TV shows like Firefly and Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And he did the first Avengers movie, and he does a really excellent job with this one. But this is his last Avengers movie, apparently, and he's moving on to other projects. But he will still be involved in kind of like the Marvel, I jokingly refer to it as the Marvel Industrial Complex, because it's getting so huge. And they've got the backing and help of Disney now, and they're able to just make these massive, huge things. But it takes so much skill and artistry and focus to make it all work. And it does all actually work, but it sure would help any viewer who walks in to see the movie to have seen these other movies, because what they're doing is they're actually telling a meta-narrative, and you are kind of in part of the story as it's unfolding. So they're leading up to something that's coming down the line, providing, of course, that these movies continue to make money, which this one's making a boatload of.
So we have this assembly of superheroes, some of them with power, some of them with just lots of money and technology. Some of them have powers that they don't want. Some of them are almost, godlike figures. Where do they come together in the plot? How does this all work?
Actually, kind of like the heart and soul of this particular movie is the character of Hawkeye, who's played by Jeremy Renner. And he's, you know, at one point he describes himself, you know, like, I'm just a guy with a bow and arrow, right? Like, he's, like, of all of the guys, he's the most average of all of them. And he has a conversation with his wife at one point, and she refers to Captain America and Iron Man, so Tony Stark there, as he says, these guys are like gods. You know, and he says, well, you know, you don't think I should be with them, and then she says, no, you bring them down to earth. So, like, that's kind of a part of all of this. So when you're looking for the through line in it, it's really him and Scarlett Johansson, who plays the Black Widow, who are your way into the story, because they're the most, and they're not, granted, they're not that normal, but they're more normal compared to everybody else, and they're more, you know, average in ability compared to everyone else, and they have kind of down-to-earth needs and concerns that may appeal to people more so. So that's kind of like your through character into it. There, just a tiny synopsis of the film itself. What happens is that because of what happened in the first Avengers movie, where it ended with an alien attack from outer space, interdimensionally or whatever. Tony Stark has been kind of worried about this, and he wanted to somehow protect the Earth. And he sees an opportunity to do that, and he wants to you know, imbue this Iron Legion of like drone robots he has with a kind of artificial intelligence that would be able to protect the Earth in case of a future disaster or a future attack from aliens somewhere. But what happens is the artificial intelligence he makes turns out, or that he uses to imbue into this this army of robots, it goes bad, and now they're fighting against it. So Ultron is the name of the robot, the artificial intelligence that is trying to destroy the world. And his job is to protect the world, but he sees humans as the problem. Wipe out all of the humans, and then the world will be safe. And that's what they're struggling against.
Lots of biblical and scriptural allusions, if not just outright references. How are they woven in there? Are they plot appropriate? Are they annoying?
They're not annoying. I'd say that they're maybe a little bit surprising. Like there is one that like jumped out that you don't often ever hear, and you wouldn't really expect to hear in a movie like this, and that's where the villain tends to be the one that does most of the God-related talking in it. And that's because when he came to consciousness, he read the internet, basically, and sucked up all this information. So presumably he read the Bible online and came to some conclusions that are like misguided, to say the least. But anyways, he gets this special material called vibranium. At any rate, he gets this material, and as he's receiving it, he quotes Matthew 16:18, "On this rock I will build my church," which is an unusual scriptural reference, especially for one of these kinds of genre movies. You don't run into that very much. Like, there's other ones that are more like low-hanging fruit kind of thing. But that is there, and he's hoping to use it because he's also very jealous of humanity. He wants to have a body that has some kind of biological component to it. So he's cooked up a way to use this material that he's picked up along with something else to make a body for himself. And he's hoping to, build his new world order on this material that he's just received. The irony is that turns in the body he's fashioning for himself then becomes inhabited by a different artificial intelligence, which becomes a foil for him and a danger to his plans.
Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. We're reviewing the movie Avengers Age of Ultron on this Monday afternoon, May the 11th. When we come back, a few more minutes with him. Then we'll take up the question, why Christians confess their sins. Pastor Stephen Parks of Concordia University, Irvine, California, will be our guest.
And we're gonna have a ball just like we always do. Saturday night at the movies. Who cares what picture you see?
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Why do you think the way you do? And what about your friends, your neighbors, your church? Is it because of what the scriptures say, or is it because they only think what the world has told them to think?
Pastor Jonathan Fisk talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Making the case for the church's response to postmodernism will be a crash course in the who's who of the postmodern pagan mindset, with a hard-hitting look at both the assumptions of the American pop culture world and the rarely mentioned but catastrophic effects that may not yet affect you, but will certainly affect your children.
You can meet and hear Pastor Jonathan Fisk making the case for the church's response to postmodernism June 19th and 20th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. Don't wait to register. Attendance is limited to 400. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkham, reviewing the movie Avengers Age of Ultron. Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. Ted, before the break, we were talking about the scriptural allusions or quotations that are often woven into this particular movie, Avengers Age of Ultron. There's another one that I wanted you to talk about. It's kind of an allusion to the burning bush, Moses and seeing God face to face in the burning bush. How do they fit that in there?
Well, it's what happens is that I was talking about the other the body that Ultron makes for himself, and then a different AI gets in it and becomes his foil. Well, as that foil comes into consciousness, you know, the various Avengers are all there, and they're all involved in some way in that. And then as it's the first conversation it's having with people, it says, you know, like, you know, well, it refers to this, I am, it's I am who I am from the burning bush. And the way that you know that it's more than just like a casual reference is near the very earlier on in the film, there's this scene where all of the Avengers are jokingly sitting around having a drink after a long, hard day of avenging. And Thor's hammer is there, and Thor is like within the Norse pantheon is like in the course of this show and in this idea of this show, he is like a god, like he is a god, and they all try to pick up the hammer, but they can't. And then he says, "Well, only you know the only person who can pick up the hammer is somebody who's worthy to pick it up." So they've had this new AI has like come into being. It's got this body, this that was intended for Ultron, and they have a whole they're having this big conversation. And he says, "Well, there's nothing I can say that'll make you trust me." And then he just picks up Thor's hammer and hands it to him and says, "Okay, let's get going." And instantly, it's like now he's worthy, like Thor is. And you just moments earlier had him say that kind of I am statement. So they're making a kind of a really direct sort of reference to the idea of a god there. Now it's a god that's created by, in part by humans. Like they're involved in making it. So that's kind of another angle to it. The whole thing is that he uses scripture in this movie, Joss Whedon does as he writes it, as a sort of shorthand to propel the story. And just an economy of storytelling to get ideas across to people fast as he goes. So in that way, it's a postmodern film, and that's why really under the hood, it's maybe more about kind of like using sort of a Greek mythology kind of paradigm, and then just like with a coating of Christian stuff on top because he's taking advantage of Christian capital that's still in the culture that people are going to pick up on quickly to drive the narrative and tell the story faster.
So he's using scripture, not so much with any view toward what it means in its original context. We wouldn't necessarily expect that, but as it's kind of the one-liners, the way people use lines from Hamlet or other famous Shakespearean plays.
I mean, he does it. He is using it. Like when he uses like that kind of I am thing, or on this rock I will build my church, he is bringing some of what scripture says about that kind of thing into his story. Like it's kind of like a train with freight cars, and it's freighted stuff. So he is bringing some of what scripture says into it, but he's not doing it in a way that's super duper faithful to the Christian faith and encouraging you and your faith. He's using it to his own personal ends to get the story told faster, if you know what I mean.
So you've also said that this film, I think throughout probably the film, puts an emphasis on the intrinsic value of not just life but human life. How does it do that?
Well, one thing that's interesting is, like, you have, you know, Ultron, who wants to wipe out human life, and then you have this new AI that comes out who ends up with the name The Vision. And The Vision, played by Paul Bettany, he they have this conversation, the two of them, and, you know, and basically Ultron says, you know, like, the world needed a shield, but instead it got a slave. So this new AI, who's like a god, quote-unquote, is there as a protector of human life, and Ultron sees that as a slave kind of thing, but really that idea of the protection of life is just at every angle in this. Like, they really go out of their way to show a real desire to protect people's lives, and it's in stark contrast to a movie like Man of Steel from a number of years ago, that we reviewed, the DC comic one of Superman, where as you're watching it, you are horrified by just like the sheer amount of death that would be occurring because of what's going on. And in this, they really spend a lot of time, and they will stop everything else, and they will show, you know, them saving somebody in a falling car because that human life is important, even just that one. And that, I thought, was a really positive thing in the course of the whole movie.
Ted, before we let you go, you're going to be back with us tomorrow. We're going to review episodes 5 and 6 of this miniseries, AD, The Bible Continues. Give us a brief preview, if you would.
You know what? If anybody's watching this out there, those of you who are watching it, if you're not already doing this, I encourage you to make sure that you're cracking open your Bibles and reading the portions of the book of Acts that this is covering. Because that is going to go a long way in seeing what's going on with this. So what you can expect tomorrow is to dig into some of the differences between what you find in the book of Acts and what you see on your TV screen.
Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts, associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity and the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. You can read his review of Avengers, The Age of Ultron at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Ted, thanks very much for being our guest.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Stephen Parks. You know, Christians confess their sins. They do it in several different ways. There's a long tradition of making confession, receiving absolution. Is it more than just tradition? And why do Christians do it? We'll answer that question with Pastor Stephen Parks right after this.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a donation of $100 to Issues Etc. To donate online, fill out the registration form at issuesetc.org and insert scholarship in the first name field. Or you can make your $100 check payable to Issues Etc., write scholarship in the memo line, and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
Martin Luther taught that the chief function of music and worship was the proclamation of the Word of God. With Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church, you will hear over 2 centuries of Lutheran musical theology, beautifully performed and faithfully sung. For a limited time, save 10% on this 4-CD set when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music. Brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Throughout the history of the United States, we as a country have enjoyed our catchphrases from give me liberty or give me death to today's classic, it is what it is. TV commercials have added such classics as where's the beef to eat fresh. Here at St. Mark Lutheran Church in Edmond, Oklahoma, we do not resort to catchphrases. Here we are about growing God's family by preaching God's word, by administering the sacraments, and building up God's people. So the next time you find yourself in central Oklahoma on a Sunday morning, come join the friendly folks at St. Mark in Edmond. You'll be glad you did. This is most certainly true.
Often imitated, never equaled. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
In Hosea 4, we read, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." At the CLCC, we educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Christians would if they learned what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website at theclcc.org. See what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And encourage your pastors to hold an event in your area. For more information, go to theclcc.org.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.